Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So we'll get started. I want to first thank you all, my friends, community leaders, for being here, colleagues in government, of course, legislators, Taisha St. Jean Tard. So this is going to be a very quick announcement. What we are announcing is that, you know, we were all at Juneteenth last week. Everyone back here was there, right? We were all there. We saw what happened, and so I don't want to rehash what happened because we were there and we witnessed it. Today is about moving forward, right? It is about what do we do now. Every year when Juneteenth happens, fights happen, and every year we say the same thing. Oh goodness, the kids were fighting. But that's it. That's all we say. That's all we do. Nothing else happens. But this year is definitely different, right? And so before I get into talking about exactly the resolution that I filed with the Common Council, I do want to talk about the elephant in the room, right? And what I'm trying to do here is help. That's it. I just want to help. I want to help our young people, right? And the elephant in the room is the way in which our young people act in our community. And no one wants to address it. No one wants to talk about it publicly. But I don't know how we solve this issue if we're not talking about it publicly, right? I made a post on social media that upset some people. And they felt that a councilwoman shouldn't say things about young people publicly. And I'm completely confused by that. That is my job. When I see our young people in the community being disrespectful, being violent, I'm going to speak up about it because that's the only way that we change it. Okay? I just have to say to the parents, you must control your children. You must. If you need assistance, if you need referrals, if you need resources, call me. Call one of these community groups back here. This is their job. Call 311, call 211. But call us and call somebody so we can help you with your young person. I'm not naive to the trauma. I'm not naive to the issues in our neighborhoods, in our communities. Why am I not naive to that? Because I grew up in it. I lived through it. I'm not ignorant to what happens on the east side of Buffalo and in our neighborhoods and on these streets and what our young people witness every day. I witnessed it too as a kid. But there are resources available to help you and your family with your young person so that way we don't lose them. We do not want to lose them. We want to help them. That is what these community groups do. Every single day. It is their job to save our kids. And to our young people, we love you. We do this work not for a paycheck. We do this work because we love y'all. We see y'all. We've been through it. I've been through it all. I share my story with young people all the time. Because everyone back here has fallen. They bumped their head. They've made big mistakes. They have regrets. But what we're here trying to do is make sure that you don't live with those same regrets. And you don't make those same mistakes. And so, yes, we are here because we are trying to appeal to our families, to our parents, to our young people, that what happened last weekend should never, ever, ever happen again. It should not. And don't get me wrong, kids are going to get into fights, but it is the level of violence that we saw. I mean, it was groups of 30 kids just beating the crap out of each other. That's not okay. Things like that happening means that something is wrong. And so we want to talk about what's wrong. We want to hear from our young people about what's wrong. What are the issues? Talk to us. Help us fix those issues for you. Help us attack those issues. But we can't attack those issues unless you tell us what they are. Fighting is a response. It is not something that young people just wake up and do every day. They're responding. They're reacting to something. We want to know what they're reacting to, and we want to help them. That is what this is about. And so, we're going to get right to it. The resolution that I filed states that all minors aged 17 and under in attendance at the Juneteenth Festival or any festival, any community thing that is happening in our community, are not allowed to be there without an adult. A responsible adult needs to accompany a 17-year-old or under. However, as a pilot, next summer for Juneteenth, we will be introducing the Juneteenth Next Gen Legacy Lab. That Legacy Lab will be filled with activities that are age appropriate. I realized that there were things here for young people to do at Juneteenth, but there were bounce houses. I get it, 15-year-olds. You don't want to jump on a bounce house all day. And so that is what we're going to do. The resolution that I filed will also create a special events advisory board, and that board will develop programming specific to our young people. Who will be included on that board? Organizations standing behind me, community members, block club leaders, business leaders, but most importantly, our young people will be on this advisory board to tell us what can we add to the Juneteenth to make them feel seen and heard and empowered. That is what this is about. This is not about kicking kids out of the park, making them run into another neighborhood and possibly get into some other issues. No, this is about Juneteenth. Juneteenth is a sacred day. It is a sacred holiday in our community, and our young people need to know what it is. They need to know what it is about, and they need to be in this park celebrating it. And so we have to figure out a way to make sure that they feel heard and seen. And we're going to do that. We will be working in concert, of course, with the Juneteenth Festival. I'm truly, truly excited to see this come to life. Again, after I made my post and did interviews yesterday, people reached out to me like, how can I help? I want to be a part of it. I want to help our young people too. And that's what this is about. We all have to be sitting at the same table, talking the same language to help our young people. But we also have to be sitting there listening to our young people. And so with that being said, I want to invite up anyone who would like to speak. But first, I would like to call up Pastor George Nicholas. There you go.
Oh,
I
couldn't hear you.
I'm sorry. I should have used my outside.
Yeah, break. Thank you. My name is Pastor George Nicholas, and I have the honor and privilege of being the
CEO of the Buffalo Center for Health Equity. And when we think about violence in itself, violence is a public health issue as well. Mm-hmm. And there's root causes. There's reasons why these young folks commit these acts of violence. So first up, we got to understand what those reasons are. And a lot of them are tied to basic needs type stuff. A lot of it's tied to anger from struggling with their own economic situation or traumas as it's been introduced within to their families or trouble that they're having in school. So we're not trying to criminalize young people. We have to have a better understanding about what they're going through so that we can provide the kind of community of caring to give them that kind of support so that they'll make the right choices. For those who make the wrong choices, there has to be consequences, but their consequences have to be restorative and not punitive, right? And so it takes that kind of thinking. And so we have these great organizations that are involved, that are dealing with young people on a day-to-day basis. We're gonna help work and try to provide the data and the understanding, the looking at the big picture. And we have to get information not only from statistical things that we might see on a chart, but we have to get qualitative information that we hear directly from the young people and then begin to try to create programs and policies that are gonna give them the support so that they can fully enjoy Juneteenth and other activities. Final point, we have to create a sense of ownership. A lot of our young people will look at Juneteenth as being their event, or Allentown, their event, or whatever, it's theirs, right? And they feel no sense of ownership of it being ours. Yeah. So we have to create the kind of community of caring where the young people, they own the activity, they own the event, and once they own it, then they'll protect it because it adds value, it's something that is important to them. So I commend Councilmember Everhart for taking the leadership, for saying, hey, I'm not just gonna complain about it, I'm not just gonna get on the phone and talk about, did you see what them kids was doing? No, we all saw it, right? But we gotta make some changes and we're gonna do it together with them. So thank you, council member. Thank you all these groups and organizations that just do tremendous work. Things would be exponentially worse if it wasn't for the people here that you see standing here. So we're gonna empower them and we're gonna make this work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pastor Giles?
I want to thank Councilmember Everhart for this assembly and the intentionality about addressing the problems with our youth. But as it relates to Juneteenth, you know, it's not just our youth. You know, we have some adults also that we have to educate, all right, because they're just as much as part of the problem as our youth. And so it is going to take the kind of collective thinking in the work, especially hearing the voice, because this is not a Juneteenth. Juneteenth happens to be the catalyst of something that's transpiring year long. We literally have 32 young gangs that are in opposition with each other. They plan, they focus, and they're very sagacious about their organization. Right, I didn't realize just how organized they were until I started counseling them, right, to get them out. They are organized to the point when it comes to mayhem. And the reason that we have so much mayhem is because of a lack of constructive activities and people willing to mentor and people willing to supervise those constructive activities. And resources is part of the problem. How do we get resources into constructive activities? We have programs, very good programs. We have youth here. These youth here that behind me right here, they don't fight, right? They don't fight because they're in a constructive program. They have supervision. They have mentors that care about them. We have to do a little more of that, right? And as I said, Juneteenth, the festival itself would just happen to be a catalyst, right? But this is an ongoing operation that happens with our youth all year round. We know that because we're at schools, we're at all the high schools that actually engaged in this. And again, I want to thank Councilmember Everhart and as well as all of those that have collectively decided to take a stand, because we've been crying out the last 5 or 6 years that we need help in this area. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Giles Murray.
I want to thank Councilwoman Everhart for her duty of being who you say you were in this community. You're supposed to speak out. not just when you're inside City Hall, but in our community. But I have a lot of youth here today, and I'm just going to yield the floor to them so they can ask the question, and then you can hear from the youth perspective. Because like Pastor Giles said, I have youth all over this park right now. They're not fighting. So they have an answer for you and ask some questions. I'll yield it to Maurice.
Hi, I'm Maurice. It's just like, won't the curfew affect those kids who didn't do anything?
No curfew.
But you said there'll be a curfew on 17 and under if you don't have curfew. A supervisor.
No curfew.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what is the Juneteenth thing you go bring up? Your resolution.
Yep. So the resolution is that we will have activities here for young people to participate in.
So how would the kids be involved in that if there won't be like if we'll be like kicking them out?
No. The point is to just show them where their activities are. That's the point. We have things here for them to do other than fighting. That's the point. We don't want them getting engaged with police officers, because when they get engaged with police officers, bad things happen. And I don't want to see that happen to any young people.
But still, kids will find a way to fight. They might go to the bus stop and fight over there if we kick them out over here.
But see, I prefer that if we will come. That is what I like to think about. And so our kids who gather, and I watch them, last year, this year, we don't want kids to just sit there. We want them to learn and engage and understand what Juneteenth is. But that's not being provided right now. And so we have to provide it for them. And so I'm not thinking about the kids that just will fight, right? I'm thinking about it in a positive light. And we all need to think like that. We have to stop saying that kids are just going to fight. They're not. Sometimes if we just provide them with what they're asking for, fight. So that's my goal, is to be positive about this and not focus on the kids who are just going to fight.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other? Trenisha, would you like to? Cecily?
Hello, my name is Cecily Owens, founder and executive director of the Girls Sports Foundation, which is a sports and mentoring program for young ladies ages 8 to 18. Our mission is to improve and support the social-emotional skills and needs of underserved girls. And we do that through sports participation and mentoring. After Juneteenth, I just retired as a principal for Buffalo School, so I ran into some kids. I feel like I can always like roll up on kids sometimes, if I know them, you know? And I just posed a question to them. How do we stop this from happening at Juneteenth, and what do you guys need? These were eighth graders. Two males and two females. And they said, I said, why do you think people do it? They said because of anger, gossiping, competition, and things like that. I have a whole list of things I wanted to share with you. I took some notes. But they also said there are some motivational speakers and rappers who share a positive message. So they want this person to come here. So I'll talk to you about it. And I said, would that stop them? He said, it's on. It helps out a lot of this stuff. So more positive, motivational speakers for our young people, maybe tied to music somehow. So however I can help, thank you for launching this initiative, and it's going to be great. And thanks to everyone that's present.
Awesome. Thank you. Latrice.
Hi, my name is Latrice. I am manager with Buffalo Snug. We are a violence prevention initiative program that works to reduce gun violence. We mediate conflicts within our community, and we work with people who are at the highest risk of shooting someone or being shot. So my take on this this year's Juneteenth was, let's not blame the parents. Let's not blame the community organizations that was out here. Let's not blame the police. We need to start holding the kids accountable for what they are doing. And when I spoke with a few of them as I'm breaking up fights and I'm trying to get to understand as to why we're out here doing this, a lot of them said, well, this person disrespected my deceased father or cousin. And we see a lot of that. So I think we need to start there with the undiagnosed traumas that these you know, youth are experiencing. I'm sure some of the schools might see that, but we just get it at the end. So if we can get in there and try to, you know, put a stop to that, the disrespecting of deceased loved ones, I think that would help a lot. But definitely holding the children, the young adults accountable for what they're doing to affect our Juneteenth. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Mohammed, and the question I have for you today is, well, first and foremost, I want to say, I think I actually have faith in what you came up with. I think it could work, but in terms of excluding kids from coming to all events, I don't know how
they're
I feel about that. I mean, you said without an adult, but
yes.
Not everybody has an adult that's available.
Right. But we will have organizations here that they can participate with.
So
that's the point. So we will have organizations set up where kids can come in and participate with those organizations that are here. They don't need
have
an
to,
adult. If they don't have an adult, they can come in and hang out with one of the organizations that are here.
All right. Thank you for clearing
that. You're welcome.
All right.
Great question.
Good question.
Hello, I'm Mia Ayers-Goss, Director of MVP, Most Valuable Parents of Buffalo, and I just want to say thank you so much for inviting us and coming up with this plan. I'm really, small words, lots of action. So I'm looking forward to us getting together and mainly working with our youth and listening to them and hearing what they have to say and us working together to come up with solutions.
Yes.
That's the main thing is we have to find solutions. So thank you for this opportunity so that we can come up with some solutions.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mia. Legislator Taisha St. Jean. Well, the first thing I want to say is thank you for your leadership, Councilwoman. Kids, we're not saying you're not loved and you're not welcomed. To the Juneteenth Board, we see you, we appreciate everything you do to put on such a large event. But this has to stop. We should not see young people hitting each other. There's so many amazing organizations that want to pour into them. So the solution is very clear. Mentorship, programming, as someone who represents the county and we're all about making sure services are provided, we have to start pouring into our young people. They need to make sure that they have someone to talk to, but most importantly, as decisions are made, that they're at the table. And they're welcome to speak up at the table. That's important. Lastly, I want to just mention, I know Councilwoman said, you cannot enter unless you're 17 or under. That's not really what she's saying. She's saying is like, you have to have a parent, an adult. However, look at all these organizations. They got you. If you want to come, come join their organization and come to the event and enjoy the event. We want to see you here. We want you to participate. And most importantly, you guys are our future doctors, lawyers, CEOs, elected officials. We want you to be successful. Thank you so much, Councilwoman, for your leadership.
And Kelly Galloway.
Hello, everybody. My name is Kelly Diane Galloway. I'm the founding director of Project Mona's House, and one of our initiatives that I'm so proud of is our Young Women's Empowerment Academy. But I don't stand here today as an individual, but as a collective community member, locking arms with all the organizations behind us because we believe that exposure breeds desire. And I believe what the Juneteenth Next Generation Legacy Lab is doing is creating a desire for our children to want to learn more about Juneteenth. A couple of years ago, I walked 902 miles on the Underground Railroad to raise awareness about human trafficking and the things that affect our communities. We got back to Buffalo on Juneteenth because we were so proud to be able to celebrate Juneteenth in a city that has the second largest population or the second largest celebration in the entire country. Number one now, period. And so we do Juneteenth like no other city in the entire nation does. And so what we plan to do through this Legacy Lab is get our children excited about the heritage and the history that that resides right in their city. This is also the last stop on the Underground Railroad. People knew that if they wanted to have freedom, they could come to Western New York, this area, this city, this region, to obtain that. And so we want our youth to be proud of that. I love what Pastor Nicholas said, that we want to make sure that they have ownership, that they have a voice in how this is planned out. And so this is not a method to discipline. This is a method to give people direction. And so we can't expect the youth to want to do things when there is no space that is specifically for them. And so I'm excited about what's to come. And I think that everybody has already said everything. But what I can say as a leader of a nonprofit organization, and I believe that I trust that I'm echoing the sentiments of the hearts of the people behind me, is that we all need more help. We need more volunteers. And so if you saw what we all saw this past weekend, if you've experienced it, then we want you to lock arms with us as we begin to lock arms with our youth and create a safe and a brave space for them to not just participate in Juneteenth, but acknowledge the fact that they will be the individuals who will carry on the tradition, and so that nobody can ever take the number one spot away from Buffalo by how we celebrate. And so this is a moment of reflection and redirection, and we are so thankful for our councilwoman who is a brave voice, because it's easy. That's right. It's easy to spot a problem and not come up with a plan. And so this is a plan, and we hope that the entire community locks arms with us and gets behind it, because we're going to stay number one, and this is going to be the littest Juneteenth festival ever. It and it's going to be that way because our youth are going to carry it on, and that's it.
Hey, this is going to be a model Juneteenth.
Thank you all. Just listen, last words. I'm grateful to these organizations, all these organizations behind me. I've worked with them for a number of years, not just as a councilwoman, obviously, but because, you know, I came through working for Tim Kennedy, right? So I've known them for many, many years, and I trust them. And I know that I've seen the work that they do. I've seen the results of the work that they do. And so I'm just grateful for them for standing with me to scream out about this. We have to do more for our young people. We all aren't gonna be here forever.
Come on.
Somebody has to carry it on. Not only carry on the jobs that we hold, but carry on the legacy of Juneteenth. And that is why we're calling it the Legacy Lab. Our babies deserve a space at the Juneteenth Festival, and we're gonna create it for them. And I'm excited. I'm so, so excited to see what this turns into next year for them. Yeah. And so thank you all so much. Thank you just for being here and standing with me. And thank you all. And I'll take any on-topic questions.
Has the Juneteenth Board, have you talked to the Juneteenth Board about this proposal? Has he ever written
Nope.
now? And, you know, what's the reaction?
Nope, not yet. Meetings are planned, though.
So you have a meeting set to speak to the Juneteenth
Yes.
Board?
Yes. Yep.
How do you supervision enforce? Would that be by volunteers at the event?
Yes. Yes. Both and. Okay. Right? Because, I mean, listen, like I started when I started, kids are kids, right? They are. But our goal with this is to make sure that they don't get in contact with police. We don't want that, right? This year, the only thing that was here for our youth was police. Mm-hmm. That was it. And so my goal is to make sure that they actually have an outlet and that we don't have to see them being in contact with police.
Mm-hmm.
No consequences. This is all about, as Pastor Nicholas said, restorative, right? There is no consequences. No one's going to go to jail. There is none of that happening, right? What we're trying to do is redirect their attention, redirect their minds, right? If they're even this past Sunday when I was here, I sat here at the splash pad. I sat here and I watched fights happen. And then I went over and I talked to the police officers. And I saw a couple of them sitting on the stairs talking to some young people. And after they were done, I said, "What are you talking to them about?" He's like, "I'm just trying to get them to understand why they shouldn't be out here fighting." That is what this is about, right? It's restorative. This is not punitive. We just want to help them. We want to get to them. We want to make sure that they know that we are here for them and that there will be things here for them to do.
You talked about listening to youth as sort of this programming decision in the advisory board.
Yes.
Will there be opportunities with that new advisory board to have conversations with youth and youth leaders?
No, that is the point of it. The advisory board will include a youth voice. Absolutely. Yes.
You said you want this to spread to all festivals in Buffalo?
Yes, that in the resolution, if you read the resolution, that is exactly what it says. It will literally be a special events advisory board, not specific to the Juneteenth, but specific to the city of Buffalo.
And what about those other festivals where there might not be this number of community groups or people willing to volunteer and help?
Well, that will be on them. That is not on us, right? We just saw this past weekend. Our community is galvanizing because of what we saw at our festival, but there were fights, very bad fights, at other festivals this past weekend, right? And so they need to get on board with making sure that their young people in their neighborhoods have something to do. And if they need some advice, they can call me.
Other cities across the state have done similar things like this. I know in Rochester they do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Syracuse as well. Are you taking any guidance from what they've done?
Yeah. I absolutely did my research, so thank you for that question. Yes, even in Galveston, Texas, where Juneteenth started, they do an amazing youth program during their Juneteenth festival. And so, yes, I did my research. I'm gleaning from all of them because that is what this is about. They are preparing their next generations, and we need to do the same.
And do you think adding any of these programs, I know somebody mentioned concerts, which obviously seems something that's more interesting for the youth, right?
Yeah.
Do you think they'll add admission costs or anything like that? It's a free festival.
No, it's a free festival, and it will remain a free festival.
As far as the legislation side of this, what comes next?
What comes next is it goes to the Common Council, right? It's filed. It's in. It follows the normal path that any piece of legislation does. Yeah.
Do you see any reason why it wouldn't pass?
Oh, no. Not worried about it. Yes.
I just want to say this. What you said at first when you started speaking, there are many young people who may have been listening to this or may get a clip later, even parents, and they will talk about all the negative things you said. But I want to tell these parents, and the students themselves know it, you have not said one single thing that is not being said behind the closed walls of these schools with the very teachers who teach them. And I work over there at 59. And you've heard about what's going on over there.
Uh-huh.
I've worked at least 12 different other schools. The students are young and with your son.
Mm-hmm.
So
I remember.
And I want the parents to know from someone who works with your children every day. She has not said one negative thing that is not being said about your kids within the schools they attend.
Thank you, ma'am. That's it? All right. Thank you all.
That's very nice.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.